Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mike Gomez, and I was the audit manager on this engagement. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share the results of our operational audit on the city of Gulf Breeze. In September 2020, we issued our operational audit report number 2021-030. With 45 audit findings.
So this is kind of interesting because, it's, you know, the audit itself that took 28 months after 400 people in HOA in Tiger Point raised two questions that then led to a 28-month investigation and 45 different findings. When the state gets involved, you know, a lot of stuff can happen. So this is Mike Gomez presenting before the auditing committee last Thursday. And the audit actually finished several months ago. Almost 6 months ago now, I guess. We got the sort of audio version of this, and we've talked about this before with City Administrator Sam Abel in the past, but it was kind of interesting to hear the presentation of this at the state level. They basically went through all of the different points, including things like saying that, you know, the way the Tiger Point Golf Course was acquired, you know, that should have been done differently, that it wasn't a great idea to make the concessions and then not follow through on them, that, you know, the running of the thing has lost a bunch of money.
In finding three, we noted that notwithstanding the intent to make the golf club a successful golf venue, the city has experienced ongoing losses from golf club operations totaling $5.4 million through the 2017-18 fiscal year.
Now, I think if you look at it superficially, you know, that's true. And you divide that into almost 6,000 people, and it's about $1,000 a person. It looks really bad. But as Sam Abel has explained many times on this show, there is a longer explanation for why that $5 million loss, taken in context, doesn't look like such a big deal.
The loss was not a surprise. Golf does not make money. It certainly doesn't after a recession. But when you look at the $48 million that our ratepayers would have been spending on the treatment plant compared to a $5.4 million loss, because of that, the West Golf Course is now green space. It's used as a park. It's used as practice fields for our lacrosse and soccer. We have just sold a portion of that property for a school that will schools continue to preserve and protect property values. And so that $1.9 million went back into the utility. And then we also sold the old driving range, which was a chronic area for flooding. We sold it primarily for a stormwater system, put that money back into the utility to buy new irrigation. And so there's brand new irrigation on both the east and the west course. And we're closing to sell the golf course February 26th.
So that would be this Friday, and they were all kind of chuckling at that because it's just, you know, it's like such a litany of appropriate response. And I think that's the point, is when you look at it in context, straight off the top, $5 million loss looks bad, but compared with the cost that would have been associated with the providing of the spray field, the selling off of some of that land to the school, I mean, just there's a lot more to it. Now, here's my general take. I think the audit raised good questions. I agree with Representative Andrade that there are a lot of things that could have been done better, should have been done better, will be done better in the future. Bringing things into sort of policy and guideline alignment was a lot of this stuff. And again, I mean, look, I understand from the auditor's perspective that, you know, if you're going to work 28 months, you better come up with a long list, you know, because as Janet Cruz asked, so how much did this actually cost the taxpayers just to do the audit? And the answer from the auditor was, I don't know. It's not a good answer. Mayor Fitch mentioned that it was like 2,900 hours from their side alone just complying with the audit. And that's, you know, that's its own special special joy. But I think the overall takeaway here from my read, OK, the overall takeaway was a couple of things. Number one, and I thought they rightly raised this, that maybe the folks who are getting the service to the water, you know, the 8,000 or so customers over 33 square miles that are getting water service of some kind, it'd be better if somehow they had voting in investment. You know what I mean? Like should they be voting? Should they be annexed? Because that was kind of the thing he mentioned was, should they be annexed? I don't know the answer to that, but it's an interesting question. Okay. The other thing was just an overall takeaway. By the way, they talked about the Catawba Street lawsuit, and they didn't get into it a lot, but, you know, can you know in advance that you're going to lose a costly lawsuit? Maybe. Maybe not. Should that have been done better? Probably. You know, we lived through that whole saga with Mayor Danheiser. So, I mean, they got into everything, not just this couple of years issue with Tiger Point, but going way back to stuff that well predates certainly the current administration. But anyway, I thought the most interesting comment was what Senator Baxley said as an overall read of the overall audit and where Gulf Breeze is now compared to where it used to be.
It is hard. I mean, I have an empathy for smaller communities trying to operate when you don't have the unlimited personnel to carry on the interaction and find out how complex it can get. But you have a community that has the appearance to me as in a community that's gone through a big transition, and the good old boy system worked fine when there was just a few good old boys and they were kind enough to keep public operations working. But when you get more complex and you grow and you have a very diverse community, you have to get ready for it and you have to live by the rules. And you have to be accountable no matter how much it hurts.
See, I thought as an overall, I mean, I don't like that wave. It just kind of makes me feel belittled as kind of an advocate for Gulf Breeze. But if you look at all of the things that were raised and you look at the response by the city, which generally the response by the city is, yeah, we can work on that, you know, that which is a fair response. And I thought they praised Mayor Fitch and Sam Abel for showing up, which a lot of cities don't bother showing up to these hearings. They didn't have to show up, but they did. They answered questions. They gave perspective and sincerely expressed a desire to, you know, work on things and be better. Now, there's going to be another audit coming, a follow-up audit to see if they've gotten more in line. And my expectations, that audit will go a lot smoother, be a lot faster. And if they find any issues, there'll be a lot fewer of them and less substantial, which is all good. You know, I think that they're working hard to get things in line and comply. And it is hard for a city of 6,000 people to do everything the way a major municipality would do. 716 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
You're starting on the I-10 Escambia Bay Bridge going westbound. There's a stalled out vehicle causing delays to back up. Not quite to Avalon Road, but still there are delays. Once you get through those delays, it will check and clear the rest of the way on I-10. I-110, by the way, flowing smoothly. If you're traveling northbound on Garcon Point Bridge, it's moving slow until you get across the hump. It'll start picking back up once again. Check and clear all the way to I-10. And let's go to the front gate of NES Pensacola. It is delayed as you are at the intersection of Navy and Gulf Beach Highway trying to get onto the main gate. That's where we're seeing these delays. And the back gate, by the way, is checking and clear. Gulf Beach Highway, Blue Angel Parkway, Highway 98 on the west side of Pensacola, all flowing smoothly. But Highway 98 over in Gulf Breeze through Navarre, it is delayed and Gulf Breeze backed up actually over to where we were mentioning Tiger Point Golf Course. It's backed up to the entrance of that golf course, so be ready to expect delays there. I'm Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
So I know we're always talking about Frontier Motors is a great place to buy good quality, late model, low mileage used cars. You get that, right? I know that. But they're also a great place to go for just advice. What's a right price to pay for a car? Even if you don't buy from them. Just think of them, okay, as a resource, as kind of a consultant. Ask your questions, get your information. If you want to sit in a bunch of different cars, you want to drive a few around, just kind of get familiar with the lay of the land. By the way, I recommend you do that before you need a new car, right? Do it before that so you're prepared when the time actually comes. They'll help you with that. They'll advise you what your trade-in is worth. They'll advise you, you know, what's a good price to pay. They'll run you a Carfax on a car, even that you're buying from somebody else, just as a way of helping. Now, do they want you to buy from them? Of course. I mean, of course they do. Are they willing to give you input and perspective and advice even if you don't buy for them? Also, of course. That's why I'm sincere when I say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is where you hear news first.
Good news for those frustrated by the closure of the Pensacola Bay Bridge. FDOT says it will be partially reopened.
Live, local, all day.
By March 22nd, with a full reopening by Memorial Day. And with FDOT making promises about the planned reopening, what does that mean for tolls?
For now, tolls on the Garcon Point Bridge will remain lifted until at least March 12th.
News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Thank you.
7:20 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The coronavirus has now taken more than 500,000 American lives, the death toll passing the half-million mark late last night. That's according to an NBC News count. This just over a year after the nation saw its very first death linked to COVID-19. Federal regulators ordering increased inspections of Boeing 777 jets equipped with Pratt & Whitney engines. That comes after an engine exploded during a United Airlines flight leaving Denver on Saturday. United has temporarily grounded all its Boeing 777s with that engine over that issue. Disney Plus has added offensive content disclaimers ahead of some episodes of dun, 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 dun. The Muppet Show.
Stop it.
Variety.
Come on.
There are now warnings on 18 episodes saying they contain, quote, negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures.
You know what I thought was the most obnoxious about this? This is the part that gets, look, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for Disney. I think this is ridiculous. There are some things that need a content warning, just like you'd have some, you know, there are some things that I don't mind warning people that there's sex and profanity and violence. And, you know, if there's overt racism in something, I don't mind. But my goodness, it's like I had somebody comment on Facebook that the most offended or the easily offended person in the room should not be the decider of these standards. And here's the thing that bothered me the most about this, Mark. I know I'm kind of interrupting you. I don't know if you're
that's
done.
That's okay. No, I'm good.
Okay. It said, the disclaimer said, this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. This mm-hmm. is the part that got me. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Using today's standards to create an ex post facto morality that we apply to people in the past that was never prevalent in the past.
That's what we do now.
It's cultural imperialism going back in the past like a time machine to wipe. It is 1984. And it is, if it can change for this, it can change for anything else. And this notion that somehow it was, there are things that may always have been wrong. But there are many things that were not always wrong. Anyway, I get angry. I don't like to be angry. But I am, this culture of canceling is disgusting to me. I'm sorry, Mark, were you done or did you have another item? You were done? Okay. You got me.
You know, it only makes me want to go back and watch those Muppet episodes
I want to see,
okay, can I notice it? Like, without that disclaimer, would I have noticed it? But also, I've been watching the Simpsons a lot. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching the Simpsons, so yeah. I've been rewatching the episodes I grew up with. Apu, but also, they love making fun of Asian culture.
Sure.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
But there's no disclaimer.
So, I will tell you, this is like, you know where this first started? In my opinion, when you couldn't have the Speedy Gonzales cartoons anymore because they have Slowpoke Rodriguez. But they also have Speedy Gonzales. What's the problem? They have both. And they're great cartoons. And they're hilarious. And somebody comes along and says, oh, no, no, you can't have that. You'll all be horrid racists if you have something like that. Really? Are we? I mean, are we better off where everything that bothers anybody gets stifled? You know, Michael Chad, I don't have it cut for you. I recorded it and I haven't cut it out yet. Michael Che, Saturday Night Live, is now under fire for a joke he made about Israelis. The joke was something to the effect of, you know, the Israelis have vaccinated half of the people in their country. He says, I bet it's the Jews, like, you know, not the Arabs, not the Palestinians. And now people are all upset because they've been vaccinating the Arabs as well, and it's not an accurate characterization. It's anti-Semitic. There is a history of anti-Semitism, and I think Israelis have a reason, and Jews in general have a reason to be upset about the, you know, sort of the shadows of anti-Semitism. But you can never get to healthy unless you can make jokes. Listen, this may be an unpopular opinion with some people, but you know when we'll be a healthy society? Is when black people can make white jokes and when white people can make black jokes. And it's okay. And you can't get to that by banning things. Humor is healing. Humor is where you find out whether something's okay yet. you know, in a relationship? Can we joke about that yet? Oh, no, not yet. Right? That's how you find out. Until you can make fun of people for things that are funny, it's not healed. And so if your answer is ban and punish and cancel, you never get to healing. 4-3-7-16-24 and the Muppets, for all they did to be inclusive? I mean, the Muppets are like the original Rainbow TV show. It's like telling you Sesame Street is no bueno. Come on. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, it is very slow moving as you're leaving Gulf Breeze. Also starting to see delays southbound before you get to the on-land portion of Gulf Breeze. Eastbound and westbound traffic of Gulf Breeze Parkway delayed as you're trying to get on over to Garcon Point Bridge. It's delayed over at the light. Also Avalon Boulevard northbound checking in clear, but southbound is delayed backed up to Del Monte Street. And westbound, there was a stalled out vehicle on the bridge, but it has since cleared up, so no delays to report on I-10. But I am still seeing delays at the front gate of NES Pensacola as it is now backed up beyond Gulf Beach Highway and onto Navy Boulevard. This is looking like something that would take you 20 minutes or even more to get you onto the main gate. The back gate is open and flowing smoothly. And this report is brought to you by ECUA's Recycle Coach app. It's here and it's free. Recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation collection reminders. You can report a problem and so much more. You can download it today for free. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
So if you're a business owner, you got into business. Why? Because you love to make a thing. You love to provide a service. You know, you saw a niche and you wanted to get in there and solve it, right? Most likely, you did not get into business so that you could oversee payroll systems and figure out insurance benefits. And right, I mean, most business owners that I know hate that stuff. Like, despite that's not why you got into business. It's not fun at all, but it's important. So here's what you do: you get Torgerson Causey to help you with that because that's what they do. They provide that service to you so you can focus on doing the thing that you got into business to do. They do employee benefits plans, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR tools and resources, payroll options, and it's all customized to your needs. You know, I know they started working with us here at News Radio, and they gave us options. You know, options we did not have before. And because we have options, everybody can make the choice that's appropriate to them, and that's the point. Giving you options customized to you and taking that nonsense off your hands that they don't think of as nonsense because they actually like doing it. 20 years in business, Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Getting a lot of support in here on text, so I will take it. Somebody says, we used to be able to make friendly, stereotypical jokes without people getting offended. Think back to the 70s and 80s sitcoms and when Saturday Night Live was actually funny. Oh, amen to that. That's so right. Somebody here says, and I don't remember this, so if it's wrong, I apologize, but he says it was Sammy Davis Jr. that opened the eyes of Archie Bunker. I think comedy has tremendous power to be healing, to be helpful. That you know, at the root of it all, what bothers me so much about like Colbert and Kimmel and SNL is that it's really just hate. It's just contempt. You know, there's no lightness to it. There's no finding common ground. There's no frivolity to it. There's no affection to it. You know, one of the things that, and I do not always succeed at this, but, you know, whenever I'm making fun of liberalism, and I know sometimes I just get angry, but I used to be one. I have lots of friends who still are. And I'm aware of that. And that makes it so, you know, when you make the joke, you're kind of, it's making fun of your friends, people you care about, people you used to be. That's where it should be. That's why it frustrates me when comedy fails to be what it can be as a social mechanism.
You know more because you listen to Brian Kilmeade, 11 to 1 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Good morning. morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Representative Matt Gaetz, our U.S. Congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. Always welcome. It's been a couple of weeks since we last talked. We have a lot of stuff to get to, but before I do anything, because I know sometimes we run out of time, and I just want to make sure that we cover it and don't neglect it, you have a virtual defense day coming up this week, right?
That's right. It'll be this coming Thursday. I would ask folks to go to gates.house.gov to sign up, where you can watch on social media, on YouTube. There are some specific things going on at Whiting Field regarding the helicopter flight mission and some collaboration with the defense contractor, Leonardo. They're going to be making major capital investment at Whiting. They're going to be doing a lot of local hiring, and this is because we are moving away from the TH-57 training platform to a totally new way in the digital era for our helicopter pilots to get excellent training, to be on better equipment, and also to have a huge boost to the local economy. This makes Santa Rosa County more resilient against any efforts to take away that helicopter training. You know, the Army's always kind of looking at that and trying to resorb as much of it as they can at Fort Rucker, but this is a huge win for us. So on Thursday, it'll be around 2 p.m., but you can sign up before at gates.house.gov to be on the front edge of the information flow for the new capital investment coming to Whiting.
All right, very good. And actually, that leads me to another thing that I kind of have been wanting to ask you about. It's not news necessarily, but with the Democrat resurgence in the House and some other matters, including your perspective on, you know, wars and drawdowns and the NDAA, there had been, I guess, a little bit of an uncertainty in my mind anyway, whether you'd be back on armed services. Are you on armed services? Are you on judiciary? What'd you get as committee assignments?
I am. I held both my committee assignments despite the, Democrat hold on the Congress. What's really important is there's a new subcommittee in armed services on cyber, and because every major cyber warrior in the Navy is going to come through Corey at one point or another, every major cyber warrior in the Air Force is going to go through Hurlburt at one point or another. This allows us to make sure that we're enhancing Northwest Florida's contribution to that part of the fight.
And you're on the subcommittee?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
I made it onto that one as well.
Outstanding. Obviously, since last you and I talked, we've had the impeachment. We've had a lot of stuff happen. Haven't really had a chance to get your reaction. I mean, I don't think the impeachment went exactly the way anybody predicted, except in the broad strokes. But we're now having an investigation after the fact into what happened at the Capitol riot and prior to that. So your reaction to the impeachment proceedings and then this commission to investigate the riot?
Well, I don't like when Washington focuses on the past. I think we've got to actually, carve out a future for our country that's better and brighter. And it seems as though the focus on impeachment and censure and investigation is just a way to keep the focus on President Trump. There is a new person that Speaker Pelosi has appointed to run that investigation. It's General Honoré. And I'm very concerned that she picked someone to lead an investigation who seems to have already reached his conclusions. General Honoré has said publicly that Senator Josh Hawley should be disbarred for raising objections and seeking a debate. He said that Congresswoman Lauren Boebert should be unable to fly on commercial aircraft, though she's not been proven to have done anything wrong connected with January 6th. And someone making those incendiary statements seemingly before any of that investigative work is done would not be in a position to render any type of fair judgment. It's my expectation that this is being done to set up criminal referrals. And it's also in line with the comments of Minority Leader McConnell in the Senate, who I believe made comments about criminal process and civil process to greenlight actions against President Trump, his family, his supporters following January 6th. So I don't think that's helpful for the country. I don't think that this continued occupation of Washington, D.C. by the National Guard is necessary. I think we need to get to the business of living our wonderful free lives as Americans.
So, I mean, just to follow up, so you're actually thinking that McConnell might be on board with allowing or encouraging criminal prosecution, not only the former president, but other people, including members of Congress or family members of the president?
I do believe that. I think that was the purpose of McConnell's statement. McConnell didn't go out there and say, well, you know, Trump hasn't gotten away with it. People haven't gotten away with it. There's still criminal process. He didn't go out there to pontificate for the sake of pontificating. He did that to provide air cover to the Biden Justice Department to hunt MAGA.
Wow. Well, let's hope you're wrong, but, you know, hope is not a plausible defense. One of the things I wanted to also ask you about, we're talking to Matt Gaetz, who is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Obviously, there are major changes afoot. Pretty much, it feels like everything Trump did, Biden is in his very first few days working to unspool, whether it's the wall or Paris, the climate accord or Iran or, you know, the XL Keystone pipeline or whatever. That's one I particularly wanted to ask you about. I know a lot of people are worried that the price of energy is going to be going up substantially, especially gasoline. I mean, what do you think is the practical consequence of the things the Biden administration is doing in the energy sector for people like me who drive? You know, what's it going to mean to me in the end?
Well, I mean, the price of energy is going to go up. And, you know, we remember when gas was, you know, getting close to $4 a gallon. You know, during parts of the Obama administration, and that put a real squeeze on families that had to move around and that rely on that as a part of the family budgeting process. So I'm very worried that the price at the pump is going up. I am also worried that global energy markets are going to be impacted by the U.S. doing more to encourage and engage in global conflict. The U.S.-backed convoys are rolling back into Syria. I don't know what we're trying to win in Syria. I look at Syria as a powder keg that could erupt and not only harm our fellow Americans who are in the fight, but also really impact those global energy markets. And, you know, you mentioned at the border, President Trump got 400 miles of wall built. That'll help well beyond his presidency. But more of the money that we had allocated for border security, Joe Biden is turning into welcome centers. I mean, they are essentially inviting caravans to come across our border because they've reinstituted catch and release. See, the reason we went from 60,000 people a month coming across our border illegally to a slow trickle is that President Trump made them await their asylum claims in their home country or in Mexico or in a safe third country, not in our country. Joe Biden is reversing that policy. And the devastating consequence is that if you tell people, if they show up at our border with a little baby, with a child, then they will. You know, whether those kids are their own or whether they're bought or rented or stolen. And that humanitarian crisis is one that I don't think a single American wants to see play out again. But unfortunately, it's ever the more likely as a consequence of these changes in policy.
Yeah, I mean, if the goal was to decrease illegal immigration, it worked. And if the goal is to...
Oh, we did that.
I mean, and if the goal is to reinvigorate illegal immigration, well, that appears to be what we're doing now as well. We're talking to Matt Gaetz. He is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Representative, hang on for me for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic break with Davis Allen.
There is an accident southbound on the Highway 90 Causeway. Actually, it's actually more a 9-mile road right by the Wood Spring Suites. This is right by the intersection of Scenic Highway. This is causing delays, though, southbound on the Highway 90 Causeway and also Garcon Point Bridge going southbound, backed up all the way to Avalon Boulevard. Extremely delayed. Be ready to expect those delays and use patience over there. And the front gate of NES Pensacola also showing massive delays, backed up all the way to Navy Boulevard, even before you get to Barrancas and Gulf Beach Highway. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Congressman Gaetz. Congressman, as I see what Joe Biden is doing, what President Biden is doing on so many fronts, I'm reluctant to give in to worst case scenario thinking because, you know, I just tend to not want to believe that kind of stuff. But I look at something like this crazy proposed gun registration bill. Everybody's going to have to disclose the weapons they own. You're going to have to go through psychological counseling to get a permit that everybody will have to have. And, you know, you won't be able to have 50 caliber. I mean, just the whole I look at that and think, oh, that's crazy. That'll never pass Congress. What do you think?
I think that our Second Amendment rights are in peril with Democrats holding full control of the government. I am concerned that these gun control measures are going to get a hearing, are going to get votes, and, you know, could end up on the desk of President Biden. I don't believe that that's far-fetched. I think it's something they've wanted to do for quite some time, and I think you're right. The practical impact of this type of a registration scheme is to create some stigma around gun ownership. That's really the objective, whether it's a stigma that could affect you at work or, you know, as a parent volunteer or in a custody dispute. The lists are endless, but it's very dangerous to try to condition rights. You know, rights are rights because they belong to you. They're not subject to, you know, some other you know, a modification that impacts other aspects of life. So I'll oppose those gun registry efforts. I think that registration is sort of step one to other more damaging things that could come.
You know, last question I want to ask you, and feel free to disagree with me about this. We've been talking about it all morning, and so far got most every elected official has weighed in one way or the other and disagree with me. But concerning the Department of Transportation in Florida, I know it's not your purview anymore, but you served a long time in the legislature, and you're certainly, you know, well-connected with the governor's office as well. There's a perception that FDOT is not responsive. Everything's over budget, after time, and under quality. Of course, we're enjoying or suffering from our unique problems right now with the bridge and US 29 and 9 Mile and so forth. I've proposed the idea that maybe that should be an elected position, that the Secretary of Transportation should be statewide elected and accountable, maybe even every 2 years, since you used to be in the Florida legislature. Any thought on that?
Well, I do think it's weird what we choose to elect and not elect in Florida. Like, why do we not have an elected commissioner of education, but we do have an elected commissioner of agriculture?
Great.
How come most states have an elected secretary of state, which is about elections, and we literally appoint the person that oversees the elections rather than electing them? So I'll concede that that is a little bizarre in our state. We might need to look at what we elect and what we don't. But I want a secretary of transportation who's a very effective engineer. And with all due respect to my engineer friends, sometimes the best, most strategic and effective engineers don't always make the best politicians. You also want to make sure you have a Secretary of Transportation who is exactly in line with the governor's thinking. If they become separate elected officials with their own political agency, that could create tension. You know, I've been in state government. If we could run every aspect of state government the way we ran the Department of Transportation, we'd probably be more efficient. When I was there, there were often times where we had extra money from projects that was saved. Frankly, it was a bunch of that extra money that was allocated in Central and South Florida that my dad, Senator Don Gates, scooped up and applied toward the Pensacola Bay Bridge so that wouldn't be a toll bridge initially. So I do think that there are some benefits to our current system. I think the governor is ultimately accountable for the transportation projects in the state. And I think that it's not the means of selecting that person. It's probably just, riding them hard like we would any good government employee to make sure they're doing their best job.
Very good. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I knew you'd have an interesting answer, and I appreciate that. I don't mind being wrong about an idea. I like to discuss it and find out what the right side is. Matt Gaetz, who is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Congressman, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Always a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you.
You bet. 751 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
We're everywhere you are when you have the News Radio 92.3 app. Download it free on iTunes, Google Play, and no more because you listen to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bobby Rossi. Coming up at 5:25, we have our Black History Month Spotlight of the Day. Also, we'll have Top Trending News at 5:20. Join me.
Bobby Rossi, 4 till 7 today on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Learn to respect the music a little bit. Let it get to the part. You know, you got to hear the whole bit. I love that. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The House set to get to work on passing the new coronavirus relief package. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise questioning whether the price tag is appropriate.
There's over $1 trillion of money unspent from previous relief bills that were bipartisan. The money's still sitting in a bank account.
The House Budget Committee will take up the nearly $2 trillion package today. A vote in the full House could happen later in the week. Former Texas Republican Congressman Will Hurd says that state's electrical system failure and its serious consequences were all preventable. On NBC's Meet the Press, Hurd says the state's been discussing planning for events like what happened last week for years, but has never done anything about it. And Americans could be paying an average of $3 a gallon for gas by Memorial Day, AAA predicting a big spike the next few weeks as demand continues recovering from the pandemic price plunge.
Wow, thanks.
You're welcome. It's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's my job to bring you these
all the uplifting news.
Uplifting.
All right, Mark. Thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, in the golf world, Max Homa wins his second career PGA Tour title. Winning the Genesis Invitational was emotional afterwards. He's from L.A., so he considered it a big hometown win.
I'm going to ask this because I'm not the only one who thinks it. What's his last name?
Homa. H-O-M-A.
Go on. Homa. Go on.
So Novak Djokovic, also he is the winner of the men's bracket for the Australian Open, the number one ranked in the world. Also in the women's bracket, Naomi Osaka won in the women's. And also spring training's underway. Players, not just pitchers and catchers, but fielders are now entering their respective location, whether it be or Florida or Arizona. And congratulations to Patrick Mahomes and his fiance Brittany. They had their baby girl on Saturday, named Sterling Sky Mahomes. Congratulations to them. And now rolling this into your traffic on the fives, we do have an accident on 9 Mile Road southbound. This is right as you're getting off of the Highway 90 Causeway. This is where the accident is located. The backups are almost all the way through to Pace, where we're noticing these delays southbound on the Highway 90 Causeway. So just be ready to pack your patience there. Use caution. Also, where we're seeing significant delays is as you're going southbound, trying to get onto Garcon Point Bridge. As a matter of fact, you're going to be met with delays when you get to Garcon Point Road over at that area. So that's significant amount of delays over there. That's probably going to take you more than 30 minutes to get you into Gulf Breeze. I feel like we're bringing bad news on a Monday morning. Now, as you're taking a look at Gulf Breeze Parkway, also significantly delayed eastbound and westbound. And back in Pensacola, the front gate of Aeneas Pensacola improving a little bit, but still backed up to Winthrop Avenue. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You ready for some weird news from the science world that has nothing to do with COVID-19? Well, I guess it does, actually. COVID-19 lockdowns, reduced pollution of all different kinds, including, like, from cars, not driving on the road so much. This is why your gas tax revenue is a problem, why funds for... Anyway, but all kinds of pollution were reduced during the COVID-19 lockdowns. And this is bad. Because particles from pollution in the air help to reflect back and prevent the sun from warming the surface of the planet. And this is why we actually had more warming last year, especially in industrialized nations where pollution is down, meaning that pollution is good for preventing global warming.